Ghost Zone by Marty Ross.
Captain James Hopridge, Special Operations Unit at your service.
It can't be you. It can't be them.
Oh, because we're dead, you mean?
Where's Inchbrae?
This is Inchbrae.
What do you mean?
There was no village left standing. The village you thought you were in was an illusion. This is what's really here. A ruin. Blasted flat.
Some kind of a spacecraft, isn't it?
This is where you belong, Jill. The bosom of your family.
Stay with us, Mum. You're not my daughter. I won't let you steal my memories.
Too late. I've got them already.
Ghosts. Isn't that what they're called hereabouts, Dr. Ben? Wait for what?
You're walking towards the dust cloud.
Does it matter? If all you tell me is true, my child is dead.
Do her justice by keeping yourself alive.
But this place doesn't want me to die. It wants me to stay. Now, why would that be?
I hate to think.
I wish right now everything they said about you was true. Then you'd be the fake and Heather would be real.
Well, that's not how it is. And you know it.
This thing killed my child. Her and all those others. For what? For what, you murdering? For what?
If its own words are to be believed, then it's a scientist. This is its way of understanding us.
What kind of understanding does it get from destroying everything?
I don't know. It's trying, I suppose, to understand us as a species, which means not worrying about us as individuals. It's our turn to lie on the dissecting table of a bigger, meaner animal. Somewhere a beagle with its skull cut open and a cigarette stuck in its mouth is seeing the funny side. Oh, come on.
Where are we going?
Well, not into that cloud anyway. And not without being properly suited up. Cairns and I had most of our equipment wrecked at the police station. What about you? Well, where's your helmet?
What? It must still be in Heather's room. Oh. Or whatever that place was.
Well, we could try getting it back.
I can't go back there. Not just at the moment.
And I understand. Those troops that were supposed to be following our trail have to turn up soon.
Will that make things better or worse?
It ought to cause some kind of upset. Maybe create an opportunity we can exploit. Look, let's just lie low and see what happens, Over there.
The church.
But if it's anything like a real church, it ought to be the quietest spot in town.
There is one glory of the sun, and another glory
cold.
Of the
moon, and another trees glory bare.
Well, it is a graveyard. Suits the ambience, don't you think?
But look, over the wall. It's still summer out in the street.
Like I said, this thing is sifting through every era in this place's history.
Look over there. Figures in black.
A funeral.
The way they're dressed. Victorian.
Ah, could well be.
Oh God, if I ever get out of here, I'm going to have a headache of a funeral to organise, aren't I?
Maybe this wasn't the ideal place to stop.
Wait. It's what? 12 hours since the real Heather and Dan were here? How much closer to life can Ghosts get? I have this horrible feeling that if I just reach out far enough, I'd feel Heather. Her spirit, not the thing in that buried house, not some alien fake. You're right here, Heather. Somewhere, so close.
Jill, this isn't going to do you any good.
Oh, can't you take a moment off from being a bloody scientist?
That's not fair.
Sorry. Olia. I'm suddenly so alone.
Here, this bench. Sit down.
It stole her from me.
I think what it's doing is more complex. And the point of all this might be to study us the way we'd look at one of our own vanished civilizations. I mean, what do we do today? We generate a three-dimensional image on a computer. Classical Athens, say. And then we broadcast that image to help our culture understand a world quite alien.
Oh, we didn't destroy classical Athens to come up with some history program.
No, we're much more primitive.
Primitive?
The technology here doesn't make do with hypothesizing the minds and bodies. It pounces on the reality in some tangible form, reproduces it out of the actual human material.
Killing as part of the process.
Maybe it needs the deaths of those it's interested in as raw material for their reproduction. It works with electricity, we saw that. Oh, you ever hear of the stone tape theory?
What?
It's a theory about ghosts.
Ghosts?
That they're electrical traces in the atmosphere. Like the magnetic particles on a videotape, playing themselves over and over again. According to the theory, certain experiences discharge human electricity through an atmosphere more intensely than otherwise. Mortal terror. Violent death.
And this thing kills to get that electricity.
It's a possibility.
But it's not just recreating the villagers. It's inhabiting their bodies, speaking to us, threatening us through them.
Probably a response to our showing up. I suspect the original idea was to study these figures in a playback of their lives. Like with that funeral over there.
And our thoughts, too. It can tap into them.
Yes. Consciousness, our loves, joys, sorrows, is just a series of electronic impulses in the brain. And reading the small print of human electricity seems to be this thing's speciality.
But there's more to it, to us, surely, than just electricity. And this thing from the dead it's got hold of. You could almost be talking about the soul.
Not if I had any integrity as a scientist.
But weren't we always told the soul was what death released into the atmosphere?
By people like that scarecrow of a minister over there.
My child had a soul. Where is it? Stolen? By this thing? Sucking on it like a vampire? Hey! You over there!
Jill!
Pin back your black veils and listen!
Those aren't veils, Jill.
They're faces. They don't have faces, just blackness.
Come on, into the church.
For what? Sake of our souls?
For want of a better idea. Please, Jill. Down here. Take a pew. Oh, where the hell are those troops?
They came seeking salvation, but the door to deliverance was already closed.
What's the mask this time? An Episcopalian minister?
The Reverend Callum Thornley, minister here from 1678 to the year of his Lord 1705.
We haven't seen you reach so far back.
The further back, the more problematic the reconstruction, as you saw from the mourners outside.
They had no faces. You have a face.
The Reverend Thornley was an exceptional case. In his intense piety, he spent the last 10 years of his life hanging witches and chattering apocalypse. One day on this altar, I cut my throat with a shard of stained glass. You can imagine how strong a trace that left on the atmosphere. With my congregation, the reconstruction has been less successful.
Oh, wait a minute.
What's wrong with them?
The traces my flock left were vague, scarcely an individual voice legible. Only a few communal utterances surviving, even those in a jumbled form. And as you see their faces, their bodies, it takes the briefest passage of time to render most of your species faceless. But even these can be of use. Step forward, as you are Christians true. There is a devil in the Lord's house, come to profane the sacred message with the lies of witchcraft.
They're coming a little close.
I noticed.
Come, drag Satan's prophet from her stolen altar.
What now, your holiness?
One of you is an irritant to the successful completion of this experiment. The other presents more intriguing possibilities. Better we separate you now. My flock, will you not scotch the serpent in our orchard?
What? Beth!
Get off!
No!
Get off me!
That thing, Beth! The electrical gizmo!
This witch would rain devil's fire on the heads of the godly! Disarm her!
No! Get off! No!
Leave her!
Now, take her! Cast her to the pit where her master dwells!
No! No! Get off!
Beth!
Wait! Get out of my way! Beth!
Where are they taking her?
She has a shorter and less interesting journey to make than yours.
Oh, spare us both this play-acting. Can't we see your real face?
Jill!
My real face? You couldn't bear the sight.
What?
Are you dancing?
Dan? No, not Dan.
Oh, can you tell the difference? Honestly. Look, it's that village dance. The night I first chanced my arm on chatting you up.
This isn't real. Not you. Not the 80s fashions or the grimy mirror ball.
What's real? What your senses tell you is right in front of you. You have a choice, Jill. On one hand, a life like this, where I can surround you with the moments and people that matter most. Or you can make do with life on the world I'm about to leave. A world in which all you loved lies in ash.
You're... what? Offering me a trip in your spaceship?
Just for starters.
As what? A performing chimp in some interplanetary circus?
No, so much more than that. Life on other planets. We're big fans of it.
Life? You mashed the real Dan out of existence like a gnat under your thumb.
Like gnats, the people of Inchbrae would have lived and died in short order. Of not much consequence to the rest of your planet, of none beyond it. Now, reproduced and transmitted across the universe, they'll enjoy the greatest privilege my culture can offer. That of being understood.
How come I'm being offered this privilege? Don't you reserve it for the dead?
Never until now have we had access to a living being who bonded so intimately to one of my reconstructions. There's so much that bond can do to deepen our knowledge.
I'm not bonded to you. I barely bonded to the real Dan.
He's talking about me, Mum.
You're not Heather.
Yes, I am, Mum. Take my hand. Feel. See. Taste the salt.
Oh, what now? You remember, Mum? That holiday in Scarborough, dodging the waves against the sea wall.
Spare me this shoddy imitation.
You don't mean that.
I do.
Let go my hand, then. You see? You cling to me still as if I was your wild, reckless daughter.
You're not!
And as you hold me, I learn the lesson of what it meant to be Heather. Far better than I could without you. Teach me, Mum. Teach me to be your child. Come on! Let's dodge those waves!
Heather! No! Careful!
Oh,
I knew it. I knew you'd dump me here.
Please evacuate the test area. Please evacuate the test area.
Well done. You got this corner of memory lane down pat.
Beth, quick! We've got trouble.
Oh, yes. You had to throw him in.
Beth, look. That reboot on the computers, they've lost 3.5 seconds. All the monitors are going to be out of sync with the pulses. I have to get in the blast chamber and cool things down.
Yeah, yeah.
Beth, listen. You have to work the door.
And this is the bit where I say, no, Dominic, don't, etc. Okay, take it as read.
What's up with you? 1.5 years we've been setting this test up. I need 20 seconds in there to stop it all being for nothing.
And I tell you, you need to get suited up and blah, blah, blah.
There's no time to get suited up. 20 seconds. That's all I need. Just work the door for me, Beth, please.
Danger. Pulse imminent. Seal this door. Danger. Pulse imminent.
Yeah, that's right.
Seal this door.
He hurries in. Will I do the door-closing bid, or will you, huh? Oh, all up to me. Sticking with the facts, are we? So, what now? You're going to go through the whole routine? My poor, sweet Dominic, fumbling away with that console. Something not right, a crucial 3-4 seconds wasted. But you're not expecting me to do all that screaming through the window like I did that day. The first pulse comes right about now, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Come on, pile it on. I can take it. Damn it! Does it turn on your extraterrestrial magnificence to torture me like this, huh? Get on with it, the next bit. Come on.
Beth! Are you there?
Where else would I be?
Oh, I got caught, I think.
Of course you did.
Just the preliminary pulse.
Just the preliminary.
Well, you'd better get me out. The major pulse. Any second now. Open the door, Beth.
He was dead already. What was the point?
The door, Beth. Open the door.
I can't. I couldn't. The radiation from the second pulse would have been sucked the length of the building.
Beth!
You're dead. Give me a break.
It's a second chance, Beth.
What?
You've always known you could have got me out in time if you just acted straight away.
What would have been the point? The radiation from the first pulse was printed through every cell in your... in his body.
But you know I might have survived.
Oh, you would not. The real Dominic understood.
Oh, did it sound as if I understood that day?
You're not Dominic.
I am. And you're going to kill me a second time if you don't open this door.
You're not real. The door's not real. The pulse won't be real. I'd sit back and relax if I were you.
Please, Beth. You remember the mess that second pulse made of me? The man you were going to marry, whimpering on the floor like a dying animal. Open the door.
You're not Dominic.
As much Dominic as the Dominic who screams in your head every unguarded moment, screaming, I'd have lived if you'd have opened that door.
Leave me alone. I loved him.
I know, Beth. Look.
What?
It's not just the face. It's the feelings. The love for you. The fear of that second pulse. Won't your love save me from that terror, this time at least?
You're not... You're not...
Push the button! I'm going to die! That other pulse! Oh, seconds! That's all I've got! Push the button, Beth! For God's sake! I didn't want to die then! I don't want to die now! Beth! Beth!
Okay! Okay!
Danger. Pulse imminent. Seal this door. Danger. Pulse imminent. Seal this door.
You're not Dominic.
And you, Beth, you're still a little slow off the mark.
Where's this?
Shh. Don't you remember?
This...
Shh.
..is our old bedroom. Me and Dan.
Don't the two of you look cute over there? All snuggled under the covers?
That's not me.
Yes, it is. This is the night the first tiny cell of me took root inside you. Remember?
I remember.
Then stand here and listen to yourself.
You okay, darling?
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't such a bad way to round off the evening.
No.
What are you looking at?
Sorry?
Out the window.
Oh, just the stars.
Oh, them.
Yeah. Just think. Every one of them might have millions of lives spinning around it. Every one of those lives dreaming every now and then about who's circling all those other specks.
I think most of them are probably worms or bugs or ugly-looking lizards, darling. They probably don't care.
No, but just think. All those specks, so full of life.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Just feel a little... Yeah, I'm fine.
You felt me growing in you already. Cell by cell. Remember? Remember that other night, 9 months later? Squeezing, aching me into life. Bloody and beautiful.
No, not here.
Why not? A bit gross, I know, but... Hey, didn't this moment mean everything to you?
It hurt so much. The blood, the... I was so terrified.
But look... You fought your way through the terror and suddenly it was a whole new world. A better world. Hold me, Mum. Hold me.
Heather. My baby. Heather. What?
You were right all along, you know. You shouldn't have opened that door.
Where is this?
Same place you were when you last looked. The corridor outside the blast chamber.
No way. I'm getting out of here.
Oh, afraid not. You see? The blast brought down the whole building. This corridor's sealed under tons of rubble.
You're dead. You died 5 years ago.
I wouldn't pretend to be anything more than a ghost. Look, over there, buried in all that wreckage.
No.
Look, Beth. Nothing you haven't seen before. My body after the second pulse. Look.
No.
Trouble is, Beth, this time you opened the door, exposed yourself to the radiation.
This isn't real.
Oh, you can feel how real it is. That tingling heat, the stink of the dead, the burning in every cell of your body.
Hocus pocus, that's all this is. Power of suggestion. A witch doctor pointing a bone. Brainwash the target into thinking you've put a curse on her. Before long, she's conned into genuine symptoms.
But you can feel those symptoms, deep inside and ever deeper.
I know the symptoms of someone being sold a crock. Now, where's the door out of this place?
The exit door? That end of the corridor's crushed flat.
But this is my corridor, stolen from my mind. I'll tell you if there's a door or not. I'm picturing it right now. Take a look. In my head, upright, uncrushed, ready to open.
There is no door, Beth.
I say there's a door. I picture a door. You're plugged into the pictures in my mind. You can't help but see it.
That's not a real door, Beth.
The only reality here is whatever you pull out of my head. And what you pull out becomes real. Well, right now, there's only that door in here.
There are other things, Beth.
The door is between you and them.
No!
The door! Look! Excuse me. That's my door waiting.
No, Beth! Not through that door!
I didn't put it there for decoration!
No, Beth!
Where are we now? You'll see in a moment.
It's cold. So cold. And dark.
Just stand there. We're right next to some pretty deep water.
I can't see a thing.
In 2 seconds you will. One. Two.
What? What's that?
The sun rising.
That's not the sun.
It's my sun.
What? Where is this?
A wee bit of a sneak preview of the planet I'm taking you to. My planet.
It all looks frozen.
So it is. Every night. And every morning that great monster of a sun comes racing across, much closer than yours, and melts it all away. You see? A whole world of colour exploding in front of your eyes every morning.
It's beautiful.
Isn't it just?
So beautiful, it hurts the eyes.
Still better than the world you'll be leaving behind. For you, certainly.
What's that? Shining across the surface of the water.
My reflection.
What?
My true reflection. Isn't that beautiful too?
Yes. Yes.
You are going to come with us, aren't you, Mum?
Do I have a choice?
I like to think you're making it right now.
I suppose I am. Yes. What?
I told you, Beth. You really have the knack of getting it wrong with those doors.
Let me guess. This is...
Yes. I recreated the test site at the edge of the dust cloud. Your door opens straight into it. Here, alas, the radiation is real.
You tricked me.
Nonsense. I experimented with the extent of your ingenuity. I'm immensely impressed. But now the experiment has run its course, and I have others to be getting on with. Goodbye, Beth.
No! No!
In Ghost Zone by Marty Ross, Jill Logan was played by Gay Ann Potter. Dr. Beth Granger by Joanna Tope. Dan Collins, Simon Tate. Heather Logan, Leslie Hart. Dominic Clayton, John Paul Hurley. Reverend Thornley, Finley McLean. Captain Cairns, Sandy Nielsen. And Captain Hopridge by Stevie Hannon. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The director was Bruce Young.